guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you. Dry and barren land, we're longing for your hand to guide us. A place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you.
About you, but I thirst for the Lord God Almighty. My soul panteth after thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise tonight, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We lift you up, because you said if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. Lord, we just come before you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being born of a virgin. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us, that we would have eternal life, for rising from the dead. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for every nail in your hand, for the nail in your feet, Lord God, for all that you went through for us, Lord, for bleeding to death, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your blood on the mercy seat. Glory, glory, glory. Lord God, without the shedding of your blood, there's no remission of sins. So we thank you tonight, Lord, that we are called by your name. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We commit this broadcast into your hands. I commit my guest speaker into your hands, Elder Diane Chapman. Lord God, and we thank you. We don't take it lightly, Lord, this platform that you've given us. We ask, God, that you would line the airways with your angels and the blood of Jesus. Lord, the blood of Jesus still works. The sinless blood, the precious blood, the stainless blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. People think they have power, oh God, hallelujah. But it's power in the blood of Jesus. It's power in your blood, Jesus. It's power in your name, hallelujah. We bless your name tonight. We lift you up and we honor you, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for looking upon us with your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for how you're blessing us, Lord God. We thank you for giving us an ear to hear what your spirit has to say. We thank you, Lord, for this day, for blessing us to see another day. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for reigning your righteousness in our members, Lord God. We thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this word coming forth, Lord God, that you have spoken from your throne room to my sister, to your daughter, hallelujah, a powerful woman of God, hallelujah, one that seeks your face and hears from you, one that sees through your eyes, hallelujah, hallelujah, great vision, Lord God, one that's been to heaven more than one time. Lord, we thank you for her, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for every open door for her. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting every need. And Lord, thank you for meeting her wants. Some of those things that she desires, we thank you for meeting them. In the name of Jesus, bless her children and her grandchildren, Lord. Everyone that concerns her, bless her house in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm excited tonight. You're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And on demand are all the broadcasts that we've had for more than a year, and you're more than welcome to click any of them on the topics that concern you and be ministered to mightily, healed, delivered, and set free, and share the broadcast with others. Tell them what has happened in your life concerning listening. On most of them, there's four or five anointed men and women of God speaking on the specific topic. And I'm sure you will be blessed. But tonight our topic is consequences, time to repent. I'm missionary evangelist Linda Casares, and I'm so honored to have you to join us tonight or whatever time that you go online and join us on demand. I just want to give a shout out for all the nations around the world that are listening to us. God said to me years ago that he was going to take this broadcast global. And it's something about God doing it rather than me doing it or you doing it. God said he was going to take this broadcast Cast Global. And without me shouting out to every individual nation that's listening in, I just want to say thank you for listening. I thank you for taking your time out. And I believe that God has led you and guided you this way so that you can be blessed by this ministry, Gatekeepers Ministry International. So right now I want to present to you someone that has become my friend. I went into Barnes & Noble's, and I was looking for a book more than a month ago, and one of my presenters, and I met this woman of God at the information desk, and she was helping me to look up this book to see if it was on the shelf, because I was having the author speak on my broadcast 2 days later, And I wanted to skim through the book before he was on. But Elder Diane looked it up for me, and it wasn't on the bookshelf, so she ordered it for me, and I told her about him being on the radio broadcast. And then I invited her to be on the broadcast. And then she took me aside, and she said that that very morning she prayed and asked God for an open door, and she felt that I was divinely led in her life that day, right in there in Barnes & Noble's, to open this door for her, to minister what God has given to her. I have read her book, Visions, What the Preacher Saw, and if you have not read it, you are depriving yourself, because the words in that book are strictly from the throne room of God, inspired by the Lord. Taken up to heaven, she was, and God spoke to her. And she shares her visions from the Lord in that book. And my daughter's reading it now. I think she told me the other day she was almost finished it. So it's the kind of book that you can pick up and you can't put it down until you're done. Visions, What the Preacher Saw, by Elder Prophet Diane Chapman. So right now, God has given her a word on consequences. And time to repent. And I believe that this is a right now word for the Church of God, because there's a lot of people in the church, in the body of Christ, that don't even think about the consequences to what they do. When it comes to other people in the Lord, their feelings, their future, their understanding, their heart, their minds, and their trust level. And I know, for one, that I've gone through all of this in leadership. I am a leader. And I thought so much of it is so unnecessary, when all we have to do is follow the word of God. And so the very people that I thought would never do certain things that I've learned that they do or they're doing, because the Bible says how to handle situations, that I've seen that as hard as I try to follow the word to deal with leadership, I've seen, to my disappointment, leaders that don't follow the word to clear the air, to restore, to bring resolution, to bring unity. They preach one thing and they say something else. So let me step aside. I love the Lord. I bless his name. My sister and I have been, the Lord has divinely connected us. We went on a retreat together. We went to Broadway play in New York together. We've just dined together and just was ministered to the Lord together. And I just thank God for these kinds of connections. I give God all the glory, honor, and praise, just in obedience, just getting up and moving in that direction, answered her prayer in the sight of God on that day. And I thank God. I want to be used like that more and more. I want to be used. I want to be divinely led, and that confirms that I am divinely led. I really do. So I thank you for listening. I love you. And now I'd like to just allow Minister Elder Diane Chapman to minister to us on consequences, time to repent. God bless you, my sister.
Father God, I'm Thank you for blessing me to once again to be able to come before your people and speak a word of truth into the heart, the mind, the soul, and the spirit. Lord, I thank you for the humbling words that have been spoken about me concerning your grace over my life. And Lord, I ask that you will use me tonight. Speak through me. Let it be your words, not my words. Use this tongue. Use this mouth. Use me, Lord Jesus, according to your will and your purpose, so that every word which thy speak will come to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd like to thank Evangelist for allowing me this platform once again to come before the people of God and the people all over the world to deliver a word that was delivered to me by the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago on the broadcast, Language of Dreams, God had given me a word that he told me first to speak in the house of God and then to speak on air, which I did do. And upon asking Evangelist if I could bring this word on air on her program, she so graciously submitted and allowed me to do so. And the word was a word dealing with the judgment coming upon the house of God, and it dealt with how this judgment, which was going to be considered a persecution, was going to happen before the rapture and also continue to take place after the rapture. That being so, because this judgment was going to fall upon all those who were leading God's people astray out of his will, out of his purpose, and away from his truth and his spirit for their own profit. God gave me the scriptures, Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. This was the first part 2 weeks ago when it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And after that, the Holy Spirit gave me this verse, 1 Peter 4 and 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel?" Judgment at the house of God. That was the first part of the prophetic word that God have laid in my spirit. Now, I was thinking that was it. But you know, when God is not through, he's not through. And one thing about it, when God gives you something, he brings it not only to you once, but he'll bring it to you over and over again. And each time, he will bring more depth and visualness to it. That being said, last week, God woke me up in the spirit speaking this word. And that word was, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men." And immediately following that, the word came again about the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now the first scripture, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men," that the Holy Spirit gave me in my sleep and woke me up speaking, came out of 2 Timothy 3 chapter verse 9. And upon waking me up, then spoke this verse, 2 Peter 3, chapter verse 9. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, that's just coincidence, but it doesn't seem too coincident of me. You got 2 Timothy 3 and 9, 2 Peter 3 and 9. God is exact when he is giving a word. He does things in a way so that we know that it is him. When God spoke this word in my spirit, he began to talk to me about a time of repentance coming before the fulfillment of this judgment. And he said this repentance was going to give those who are involved in this, these that are involved in leading his people astray, away from the will, the purpose, the spirit, and the truth of the Lord God, to give them a chance and a time and a season to turn from their wicked ways. Now, understand what we're talking about when we're saying wicked ways. Wicked way is any way that is against the will of God. It is considered wicked. Why is that? Because of the results of it are always negative, sinful, and they always bring a person down into a place where they end up losing their connection and their fellowship with God. So it is considered wicked. In other words, it's a deed done that is against the will of God. Now, you say, what are you saying, preacher? Are you talking about church folks or are you talking about sinners? I'm talking about all who are guilty, whether you're in the church or whether you're out of the church. When you're doing anything that is against the will of God, which is for the purpose and the blessing, the deliverance, and the salvation of mankind, it is considered wicked if it is speaking or going against that. Now, this past Monday, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up once more. And as I said, this time he woke me up with the scriptures about they shall go no further. And when he woke me up with that, I began to pray, and I said, now, Lord, I said, you gave me the first one first about they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men. And I said, Lord, what are you talking about? And God said, I'm going to uncover them. I'm going to reveal them, and I'm going to uncover them. And I began praying about that, and I asked the Lord, I said, now, Lord, what do you mean by uncover them? Could you be more specific? Not that I was trying to test the Lord, but being a servant of God, you want to make sure you're getting what you're getting from the Lord. And sure enough, God began to break it down to me. He said, I'm going to uncover this. He said, the reason why I said uncover, he said, because these are they that are hiding under the guise of Christianity. They're hiding under the guise as being those who are servants of the Most High God. He said, but they're not servants of me, nor are they true Christians. Now, hear what I'm saying when I say true Christians. Now, you can be someone who says, who claims to, how you say, know the Lord. You can be someone who claims to be serving the Lord, but if you're not serving him in the way that the Word of God has said it to be done, has presented it, then you are not truly being a Christian, a follower of Christ, which is just what a Christian is. That is a follower of Christ. Now, if you're following yourself, you're not following Christ. So let us get an understanding on that so we don't have to hear, well, they call me not a Christian. No, I'm speaking as in concern with what is going on and what is truly happening. And the Lord said they're going to be uncovered, which means they're not going to have no place to hide. And then he said it's going to be manifest to all men. The Spirit of the Lord said he's going to uncover them. He's going to reveal them. There's not going to be a hiding place for them, that he's going to make their deeds known. It's going to be out in the open. And this, in turn, is going to give all those who are witnessing and can pick up on what is going on the opportunity to change or to turn from following them or following after them. Because anytime you have someone that is leading others astray and they're hiding under the guise of Christianity, most of the time we, as I say, people of God, we are inclined to follow whomever or whatever says that they're of God. And if you don't try the Spirit by the Spirit, in other words, make sure that it is God that is dealing with them, then you will believe and you will fall privy to whatever it is that they are conducting or they're saying before God's people. And unfortunately, that is true of many, many, many of us, because a lot of us do not take the time to study the Word of God, to pray about it, to ask God for his understanding, his wisdom, and his vision where his word is concerned. And in doing so or in not doing so, we can miss what the Word of God is actually saying. So that leaves a door open or doors open for anyone or anybody to say anything to us. This is why God put it in the Word of God to pray without ceasing. And he put in the Word of God to study, to show oneself approved, a workman needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It is for all Christians to study the Word of God, pray and ask for God's understanding, because after all, it is his word, and only his spirit can give us an accurate interpretation of just what he is trying to tell us through his word. And most of the time, most of us, we really don't take that time to pray. We just open it up and we read it according to our understanding. And believe me, Satan knows this. So he can easily slip in through others, how you say, wolves in sheep's clothing, slip in and lead us any kind of way because we're not studying on our own. Now, this time of repentance, by the Lord being gracious and long-suffering, and because he does not want to lose anyone, as the Lord gave me in the last part of this word that God gave me 2 weeks ago, and that this was going to happen before the rapture and was going to continue on after the rapture. God is trying to give those that have a heart and a mind truly for him, but just not may not know in what direction to clearly go when they see this persecution, this judgment fall, or this correction, as the Lord has told me this week, this consequence fall on those who are guilty of this in the house of God, making a business out of the house of God, profiting off the people for their own selfish gain, attention, authority, and what have you, or self-glory. God is saying that they're going to turn and they're going to follow Christ. Now, he is giving all a chance to repent. Now, when exactly this is to start, no one knows. God has not given that word, but to know this, it is going to happen. This isn't something I've set up and thought about. Oh, I'm just going to say this. This is a word that God woke me up out of my sleep on several occasions, speaking it into my spirit, worried me till I got up and I wrote it down, and then worried me some more till I got in touch with the evangelist and said, can I speak this word on your broadcast? Because the Lord told me to put it into the air, put it on air and put it into the air, because this thing is going to be done and it's going to be visible unto all. When God starts to uncover, he doesn't just pull the covers off of one part. He uncovers everything to show the nakedness of all. In other words, to reveal all. Now, there's still going to be those that are not going to see it. They're going to close their eyes to it and continue on walking in the way that they're walking that is not in accordance to the will and the purpose and the spirit of God. Then there are those who are going to actually look and say, uh-oh. I've been walking in the wrong direction. I need to turn and change my path. This message is for them. Now, this morning, the Spirit of the Lord once again woke me up, speaking this word in my spirit, because the Lord knows that I was a little nervous about bringing this word, because it is a judgment call. It is a word dealing with the consequences of actions that are not pleasing to him. And if anyone knows anything about a true prophet of God, when it comes to words like this, you really are kind of nervous about bringing them, or you're not too swift to bring them because you don't know what's going to come from what you're bringing before the people that God is giving you. But you know what? It's not about that. It's about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord told me this morning, while laying in my bed, he says, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. And this was spoken twice into my spirit, and then it came again, and the third time was added, having done all to stand. God says, stand. On that note, I got up. I got up and I grabbed my Bible because I knew that the Lord was giving me and a admonition, something that don't back down, don't sit down, don't not do this thing, but stand on and in the truth. So I said, okay, Lord. I got up, I grabbed my Bible, because I knew from past experience, whenever the Lord was giving me a word, he always confirmed it in his word. I got my Bible, I said a prayer, I said, Lord, if this truly you, I said, God, let your word open to where you would have it to open so that I would know what it is that you would have me to read or to say. Immediately, my Bible opened up to Micah, the third chapter, beginning at the fifth, going down through the 12th verse. And as I began to read, I said, oh, my God. I said, this is exactly what's going on. I'm going to read to you Micah, third chapter, 5th through the 12th verse out of the NIV version, the New International Version. This is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, they proclaim peace if they have something to eat, but prepare to wage war against anyone who refuses to feed them. Now, looking at that verse, that let me know right there and then is dealing with those who are always, they're always promoting that if you do this and if you do that, or if you give this, or if you buy that, or if you whatever, you do this, whatever, God's going to bless you. But if you don't do it, God's going to curse you. And I, unfortunately, I've ran across many, oh, my God, in the house of God who proclaim to be a prophet of God, leading people astray, telling them that if they do this and if they give that or if they buy this or they go some kind of way that's going to benefit them, talking about the prophet themselves or the speaker, if they will do this thing, God's going to bless them. But if they don't do this thing for them, that God's not going to bless them. There's a curse or this and that is going to happen, some negative thing. That is not a true man or woman of God. Amen. Amen. Because when you have someone doing something for their own profit to fatten their pockets, to build them up, that is not God. Amen. Now, you may say, well, why do I say that, preacher? For instance, let me give you an example of what God requires. Amen. It's not so much your silver and your gold as it is your heart and your spirit and your faith. If you have need, God knows how to provide. All you have to do is ask. If there's a need, God will provide. All you have to do is ask when it is God. God never puts anything upon you that you cannot do. When you get someone stressing for you to do something you know and the Lord know is not for you to do, that's not of God. Let me give you an example. Peter and John at the temple. The lame man laying at the gate called Beautiful, asking for alms. Now, Peter and John were not no rich men. They were the apostles. And at that time, everybody was kind of poor. They were giving all into the house of God to help everybody. So nobody had any monopoly over anybody. Peter, immediately looking at the man, and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. And then told the man to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And immediately through faith, in hearing the words of Peter and feeling something from these words, this man took faith and got up and walked. Now the question is, what would have been the greater blessing? If Peter and John had filled his pockets with silver and gold, or had they not been obedient unto the Spirit and prayed for the man, and in turn, God blessed the man to get up to be able to take care of himself. Now, in my opinion, the greater blessing was the healing, because God healed this man, whereas he can get up and he can take care of himself. He can do for himself and no doubt do much more and even more for others as well as himself. And the man became a witness for Peter and John when they were brought before the authorities. So, now if he had just put silver and gold in the man's hand and the man got him something to eat for that day, that next day he would have still been lame. and he would have still been lame that day. He would have still been without. He would have still been in need. What am I saying? The house of God needs people who have a heart and a mind for God, who are willing to give of themselves, their prayer, their faith, their heart, their work, their service. But yet we have made it a house of business and a den of thieves. We are in everything but the kitchen sink from our people, and God is not pleased. And we're teaching this. We have more entrepreneurness going on in the house of God than we do in the working field, in businesses, and amongst business people who proclaim not to know anything about God. We're profiting more off of God's people than we are working along with God's people to profit in the spirit of the Lord, as in the winning of souls. God put that word in my spirit, and I know it may not be welcomed by some, but nevertheless, God told me to stand and speak it, and this is what I'm doing. The next verse says, therefore night will come over you without visions and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. Now let's get an understanding here. The prophets in which these particular scriptures are talking about is talking about the prophets that lead the people astray, the ones who prophesy false visions or divine false words to get people to do what they want them to do, which is a whole lot of what's going on in the house of God today, unfortunately. These are the prophets which the Spirit of the Lord is saying, night will come over you without visions and darkness. In other words, God's going to cut off the visions. He's going to cut off the divination. He is not going to give a view, or he is going to fix it where you're going to be afraid to give the view. Now, I know this is not a welcome message, but we need to gain an understanding. We're in that season and that time, which is before the coming of Christ, which is before the rapture, and it is before the coming of Christ. And God is not playing with the house of God. He is trying to get us ready. He is trying to give us a chance and an opportunity to straighten and to get anything together in our life that is out of sync with his spirit, together with him and back in sync with him, so we can go and get up out of this place and come back with our Lord and Savior. Now, we can choose to hear or we can choose not to hear. This is not a glory thing. This is not a self thing. This is not for a profit thing. This is something that is for Jesus and Jesus alone. And it goes on further to say, the seers will be ashamed and the diviners disgraced. Once again, talking about those who are leading God's people astray, because not all prophets and not all seers are caught up in this thing. There are those of us who are truly speaking for the Spirit of God, led by him, guided by him, seek and search him every day from our heart and going through because of it. But for the love of God and the love of Christ, we stand. Now, as speaking about those prophets again, is saying, but as for the man of God, speaking here in verse 8, Micah, third chapter, but as for me, because this is Micah speaking here, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Now, here is where Micah is making his declaration of who he is. He's already talked about the prophets that are leading and the diviners that are leading people astray for their profit, for their want and their like. And if people don't do it, they got some kind of negative thing forecast over them or tell them what they're not doing to try to wage war. Now, the Bible says wage war. Waging war means they're just coming out against them. In other words, you don't support them, they're coming out against you. In other words, they don't have nothing good to say to you concerning God. But now Micah is saying here, but as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. In other words, God has anointed him as a true prophet of God to speak of these transgressions before the people and unto the people concerning their sins. He says, hear this, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who would build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they look for the Lord's support and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, and the temple a mound overgrown with thickets. In other words, because of their error and leading those who follow them to error, not only is trouble going to come upon those who are leading, but it's going to come upon those who follow. This is why God is going to give this time of repentance, this moment, or however long it's going to be, of repentance before he brings the consequences of these actions, these things that have been done in the house of God. He's going to give that time to repent because of this teaching, this leading, this guidance that has been going out in a majority and many of the houses of God that has no spirit, no life. It does not go in accordance to the will of God. It is a man-made and man-self-supported. And God is speaking against it because it is causing his people not to follow him in the way that God has set for us to follow him. And if anybody know what I'm talking about and have experiences, I'm sure I'm getting plenty of amens. God is going to bring a purging and a cleansing into the house of God. But he is trying to get our attention. As it says, he is long-suffering to cause us to turn, to see our ways and repent. Because surely as high is high and low is low, this thing is going to be. God don't wake people up in the middle of the morning and in the middle of the night to give them a word and then take them into the word. And you don't even have to turn a page and boom, there it is. And then send you many conferences and witnesses. When God is getting ready to do anything, he always moves through the witnesses of two or three, and he does that so that every word is established and confirmed. Now, I have heard this word since then, be established and confirmed, and I'm telling you, saints, it's time for us to turn back unto God and turn back unto his righteousness, his holiness, the truths that are found in the word of God. It's time to seek after the Spirit of God so that we can gain a righteous understanding of just the way God would have us to live, to walk this life, to go forth and to do what he has called us to do, because God does have a beautiful future for us. If anyone has read my book, Visions, What the Preacher Saw, and in it I share with you the various visions that God have given me concerning the future of the saints. It is a beautiful future, but we will not see it if we are not where we should be when Christ comes. If we are walking in the way of selfishness, of benefiting our own self, of promoting ourselves and not promoting the Spirit of God and of Christ and teaching righteousness and true holiness, I guarantee you, you will not see what God has for his people. And what he has for us is just absolutely mind-blowing. As the evangelist was speaking of one of the testimonies and miracles that I share in my book of the time when I did die, and that's in the vision in my book, Visions, What the Preacher Saw, and it's called My Journey into Heaven. And what the Lord showed me was just, it was just mind-blowing. It was just mind-blowing. If he had not have showed me my children and asked me the question, if you die, who will raise them, I probably would have never come back, because if he hadn't showed me then, I was ready to stay where I was at and not return. It was just that beautiful. But because of the love of my children, and wanting to be the only mother to raise them, I asked the Lord to send me back. Now, that's in the vision, My Journey into Heaven. But I'm telling you, saints, God has some beautiful things in store for his people and many blessings for those who are truly serving him. But if you are not serving him in the way that God would have us to do, the Spirit of the Lord says you'll not go no further, and your folly will be revealed. And also in 2 Peter 3:9, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, this is a promise. This thing is going to happen. These consequences of our actions, if we are not doing what the Lord would have us to do, turning from ways that are not pleasing unto God and seeking after the will of God instead of the will and the profit of ourselves, God is going to manifest these things. He's going to uncover us. He's going to reveal us to the world, and everyone that is around is going to see where you are or are not with God. Now, the blessing is the time for repentance. We know when we're not walking in the way that we should. But like so many in the house of God, we're trying, they're those that they're trying to hide under the covers of being a Christian. We will teach one thing and live another. And then if you listen careful enough, one thing I love about God, you're not going to stand in front of his people and deceive them for too long. God will let you slip up, trip up, and everything else till you finally admit where you really are in God. Now, you have to be listening and paying attention, because if not, just like the devil, he'll come back and he'll snatch that word. That's why Christ gave the parable of the sower and the seed, to show you all the tricks of the enemy when it comes to his word. Satan will try to snatch that word, he'll try to cover it up, he'll try to strangle it out and everything else. But if you are the one that is the fertile ground, in other words, you have a mind and a spirit and a heart to listen, and you're not going to allow the enemy to take what you're being shown and revealed to you out of your mind, and you are determined that you are going to serve God, I guarantee you, you will not miss that moment. I made it a point in my life to hear and to listen to everything that is being spoken before me, because that's one thing the Spirit of the Lord taught me. This way you will not be deceived. I've learned to keep an open ear to the Spirit through prayer, through fasting, through seeking his word. And also, as I said before, everything God does, he always sends a witness in this earth. He sends a witness in his word. He sends a witness through his Spirit. And he sends a witness through others. Amen. That's how you know it's God. And then he manifests it. He does what he says. And this is what I love about God. He does not back up. He does not back up what he says. He backs up everything that he says. Now, in reading that, now especially want to focus on verse 12 right now. I know my time is wearing down, but it says, therefore, because of you, in other words, because of these so-called prophets or diviners or people leading God's people astray, because of them, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill, a mound overgrown with thickets. And basically, that is almost where the house of God is now, because as many churches as we have just in these United States and around the world, this spirit of lovers of oneself and heady and high-minded and profiting off of the people of God has become so bad and being taught in a way to the people of God that, yeah, this is the way you're supposed to live. You're supposed to seek after these things and not seeking after the riches of the Spirit instead of the riches of this world. They're being, I'm not saying you got to be poor and broke down, but that's not supposed to be the first thing in your mind. The first thing in your mind is Christ. And remember, the Lord said, all these things will be added unto you, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And we have put the things before heaven, and heaven last. Okay. It says, plowed like a field. Jerusalem would become a heap of rubble, the temple healed. In other words, broken down so to the point, when you think about thickets growing, That means you're broken down to a point to where it looked like weeds and things can grow out of you. What does that say about your spiritual life or your Christian walk before the world? It's saying that your life will look so broke down. And a whole lot of us are looking that very way. We're not looking real. We're not looking true. People look at us and they don't even hardly even see anything different in us anymore. It was a time where people would look at a saint of God or a child of God and they could see and feel the difference. And they knew that there was a change over you. For one thing, the light and the glory of God would shine through your spirit, through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And immediately people would notice, okay, there's something different, something changed, something's not the same. Now when you look at most children of God that say they are children of God, you notice nothing. Not all of them, but a lot of them. There's no connection in the spirit. There's nothing that's saying in your spirit from the Lord that, okay, I can feel my spirit in them. And that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. When you can't feel the spirit of God in another saint or Christian or servant or person who says that they love God, there's something wrong there. There's something very, very wrong there. And on that note, I'd say it's time to check yourself. Where are you in God? Because if somebody cannot tell the difference in you, whether they like it or whether they don't like it, if they cannot tell the difference in you, then that means that something has not changed or there hasn't really been a change. And I can only go back to fault. This falls not only on the one that is receiving the teaching, but this falls on those who are doing the teaching, because a lot of this teaching is not being taught in the houses of God. We don't hardly even teach anymore about being filled with the Spirit or the Holy Ghost baptism. Most time you ask Christians that and they want to know, what is that? This is one of the first things that is supposed to come to you when you get saved. You seek that in filling, and the reason why is because you know that the Holy Ghost is your keeper, is your sealer to your faith. The Lord uses and works through the Holy Spirit to guide, to teach, and to cover, and to protect, and to empower you, and to give you power and authority in your life. And when you don't have that, there's something wrong. But it's not being taught. You cannot fully blame someone who has not gotten it if they have not been taught. Saints, God's going to hold us responsible for this. And yes, there are going to be consequences. This is not something thought of or coming out of the top of the head. God says this is a consequence. The Lord will not put this in the word, judgment coming to the house of God, if it was not so. He would not put it in his word, as we just got through going over in the book of Micah, and even down to the part of teaching for hire, prophets divining for money. And yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. That's verse 11, third chapter, Micah. Now, if God can put it in a word, and this thing is, that lets you know that every word that he speaks is coming to pass. So, saints, let us turn. Let us look up to God. Let us go back to where the church was first started in spirit and in power. Let us go back to that unity where we were looking out for one another. We cared for one another. We were not trying to make a profit on one another as Ananias and Sapphira trying to hold back for themselves. We cared for all things that dealt with God. Let us go back to that spirit. Let us stop making a marketplace out of the house of God, and let us bring it back to a place of prayer, of being saved, of being healed, of being delivered, of being taught the knowledge and the wisdom of God to use in our lives, and not only to bless and benefit us, but to bless and benefit others. And I see I only got 5 minutes, but I'm going to end this at this, and I'm going to end this in a prayer. Father God, we thank you We thank you for this time. We ask that you bless and touch everyone in the world. We ask that you will turn the minds and the hearts of those who have been fooled by their own selfish will into leading or teaching your people astray in this time that you are giving us to turn from these ways and come back to you in your authority, your spirit, your guidance, and your purpose for our lives and be able to go forward in you. Lord, we pray for your people. Lord, that the damage that has already been done, that it can be turned and reversed when we turn our hearts back to you, that our lives will not be destroyed before this world, that we won't look like a rebel and won't look just as wicked or just as simple as the world around us, as those thickets and thorns coming out of that rubble. Lord, let our light so shine before mankind that all who see us will know that there is a God in us and we are his servants and we're walking before him with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And though we may not be loved or though we may be loved, we are loved by God, and that is all that matters. Amen and amen. And may the Lord bless everyone that hears this. Walk in the word and the will and the spirit of God. Try the spirit that is around you. See that it is of God. Know that it is of God. Don't be quick to follow every voice proclaiming Christ. If they don't align up to the word of God, then you're not following the right voice. God bless you. Into the hands of Evangelist Linda Casseris.
Praise God. I certainly received that word. It's a right now word. It's just very timely. I think often this kind of word should be ministered from the pulpits, and to hear the subject of consequences preached anymore in the pulpit is scarce, rare, and you just do not hear it. Nobody wants consequences for their behavior. When you recognize your bad or poor or sinful behavior that you have sown, the behavior and the outcome is consequences. To repent and totally turn from the behavior can decrease the consequences. Yet when your behavior involves others, especially children of God, and sinning against God and them, there is more than just repentance required. The Bible tells us to go to our brother and make it right. Without that, you have not truly repented, as the Bible says, and restored your relationship with your brother. There's so many words of restoration, unity, and words along those lines, similar on ministries. But check it out and see if that's what is really going on. Because I have found these words on ministries, and I have not seen the fruit of that or the backing up of those ministries truly being ministries of restoration in the body of Christ. If however you do it, the Lord commands restoration, for this is why he died on the cross and rose from the dead. So without that, you have not truly repented, as the Bible says, and restored your relationship with your brother. Pride keeps people from going directly to their brother to make it right. The unwillingness to admit your wrong and your sin. Therefore, you're sowing wrong, you will reap the consequences of that wrong. I was often, by the Old Testament, glued to the words that where God said he did right in the sight of the Lord, and then the next one did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the next one did evil in the sight of the Lord. And therefore, I knew that there was difference, that God was watching, and that he knows, and who's doing right in his sight, and who isn't. I took that to heart in my walk with the Lord, and I still have. And therefore, when I come across someone with a title and a position in the church, I just assumed, and this was naive of me, that they are walking right in the sight of the Lord, that what they're doing, and I have found, unfortunately, that there's been a lot of division and a lot of not coming together and a lot not giving your time to restoration because maybe that person is not in your circle or they're not significant enough or important enough. I've learned that unless I can see the fruit of your words, that I still have to have some reservations in what is really going on. I've just 38 years of being saved, I've come to know that everything that's said in the pulpit is not really taking the heart that is said to the people. But I've always thought through my pastor, Benjamin Smith, that the word first is given to the person that's giving the word. When God gives a word to a prophet, he can't give a word to a prophet for judgment and like this if that prophet's not clean.
Amen.
That prophet, that seer, that prophetess has to be clean. So therefore, God is raising up clean prophets to minister to pastors that are not clean. That you don't have to be doing sexual sin not to be clean. You could be offending your brother and not making it right. You could be gossiping against your sister and not making it right. You could be doing a whole lot of things and you think it's okay because of your title and position. This is not right in the sight of God. And I say this in love because the Bible says the open rebuke is better than secret love. So I say this in love, and I'm allowed to open this door for my sister to bring this right now word because it's needed. And I pray that it gets to the hearts, that it goes out through the airwaves, that people share this topic, consequences, time to repent, with their brothers and sisters, and we don't walk in fear but set our face as a flint. That leadership will repent. That leadership will repent. When the consequences come, they will repent. But it's time to repent before the consequences, and it's time to think twice about the doing wrong in the sight of the Lord. Because if it's wrong in his sight, it's wrong from the scriptures, it's wrong from the people in the pew. And so we just give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight. I thank you, Elder Diane, for being transparent. I thank you for that powerful book that's out. Please get the book from Barnes & Noble. Look it up on Amazon. Amazon rates this book 5 stars. I haven't seen 5 stars on some big-name preacher's books on Amazon.
Amen.
But Amazon gives her book 5 stars, and I would give it 5 stars. That's the maximum that you could give it. So we just bless God tonight. And my sister, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Just that for those that are living in the Maryland area, you can pick my book up at Barnes & Noble in Bowie Town Center in Bowie, Maryland. It is there in hardcover as well as paperback. Every word is true. Every vision God gave me, every testimony is true. And I thank God for it because I was hesitant to write this book. Spirit of the Lord impressed it upon me to write it, and then he made the way. And the word that was given tonight, I'm not one of those called myself prophets. God gave me this calling, and I'm going to be honest, I tried to run from it, but God caught me and told me to do this thing, and then gave me Jeremiah, the first chapter, how he called him and told him how he had already, before he was even formed in a womb, had called him to do this, and this is what he has spoken to my spirit as well, and told Jeremiah not to be afraid of the faces, and said if he be afraid and ashamed or what have you, that he was going to make him ashamed before the very ones with whom he had called him to speak to. So on that note, whenever God gave me a word to speak, whether I liked it or did not like it or thought whatever the way of it, He gave it to me, I spake it. And this word God did give me, and it is going to come to pass. There are going to be consequences for those leading God's people astray, making a business out of God's house and God's people, and teaching others to do the same. There is going to be a consequence. So let us take heed to the time and the opportunity to repent. Because before God brings sentence on anything, he always gives us an opportunity to come back to him. We're in that opportunity now. Let us not stay where we're at and get into the consequences. God bless you.
Well, praise God. I've experienced all of those things, and I am sorry that I have. But I guess God needed me to do that because it's real. It's happening. It is what it is. And therefore, when I see it, I can protect someone else. I just trust and believe God that I live out his word, that I follow his word according to what it says concerning my brothers and sisters. I'm not accountable to anybody else that does not follow his word that way. It doesn't say if you're a bishop and you offend somebody, if they're not in your circle, you don't have to worry about it. You could just move on. It doesn't say if you're a pastor and you've lied on somebody or you've gossiped about somebody and you know they know and it hurt them that you just move on and don't say nothing. Okay, well, we're supposed to move on whether they apologize or say they're sorry or not. But to my dismay, I've seen so many that have not come close to apologizing or saying they're sorry or making it right. They talk about peacemakers and they make no peace. They talk about unity and they don't attempt to bring it. So I thank you for this word. I thank you for bringing it. I'm going to continue to open this broadcast to people that are truly setting their faces aflint and just bring it, you know, because there's no fear in God. God does not give the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, and I mean the power of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you tonight for joining us. We thank you for listening. You're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. You can catch us on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. Whatever time zone you're listening, morning, noon, and night, this is Missionary Linda Cazares saying good night. God bless you, and I love you.